Chapter 47, The Lion of Lucerne. Lonnie Kim asked, "Who was it?" I said, "It was the Radical alum. He dropped by. I'm not sure how he did it. It was way past visiting hours. But when I woke up, there he was sitting on the corner of my bed with his jeans and his work boots on. He said he had dropped by to see how I was doing. I told him about my ordeal. He told me about Blackwell's behavior at the Columbia Club." She asked, "What did he say?" I said, "He said Blackwell reminded him of the Lion of Lucerne." "Who's the Lion of Lucerne?" "It's not a who. It's a famous statue of a dying lion carved into a mountainside memorial in Lucerne, Switzerland. It depicts the most pitiable creature you've ever seen, and the Radical alum said it was exactly what Blackwell looked like, slumped in his wing chair before the dying embers of a fire." Lonnie Kim said, "Blackwell, I hate that man." I said, "You don't have to. His own actions have heaped ashes on his head." She said, "I know I don't have to, but I want to. I consider it a privilege to hate him after what he did to you." I said, "On the other hand, if he hadn't wrestled with his conscience as long as he did, I might not have made it." She said, "Wrestled with his conscience? What conscience?" I said, "According to the Radical alum, do you know what Blackwell said to the police when they informed him that I had actually survived?" "No, what?" "He said it was the best news he'd had all day." With uncharacteristic rancor, Lonnie Kim carefully put down her spoon and reacted angrily. "Parker, don't you dare forgive that man for what he did to you. I never will. I don't care what he said about it being the best news. He tried to kill you. And he would have without your uncle and Detective Lippincott showing up." Now it was she who was attracting attention from nearby tables. Clearly, those afflicted by Blackwell's actions extended beyond his four dead victims and myself. I wasn't the only one who had emotional healing to undertake. After she calmed down, she said, "While I'm in New York, I want to go visit and thank Detective Lippincott, but your friend, the Radical alum, he's the one I really want to meet. He's the one responsible for you being here." I said, "He and Zeke Roberts." She said, "What did Zeke Roberts do?" I said, "He informed Detective Lippincott when I didn't return to campus, and after he learned that I hadn't reached the 103rd precinct to report on Joey K." She said, "Then I've got to meet Zeke too, and thank him." I said, "Yeah, he'll want to meet you, too." She said, "How do you know?" "Trust me, I know." Closing in on midnight, waiters were handing out noisemakers. Other tables began testing theirs prematurely. We let ours lie. Lonnie Kim finally broke in. "Periwinkle for your thoughts?" I said, "I had another visitor I didn't tell you about."
"Who?"
"Professor Hopkins."
"Oh,
how's his daughter doing?"
"Progressing,"
she asked hopefully.
"You mean she's getting better?"
"No, it's progressing. The illness is. She's in the hospital now. Professor Hopkins asked me to go see her."
"Why don't you?"
"I don't know if I'm up to it." The lump in my throat was returning. She said,
Parker, you can't allow yourself to feel guilty for being rescued. She sounded like one of the psych ward counselors who had been visiting me in the hospital. I croaked, I don't, not really. She said, you know, sooner or later, we all end up in a fizz tank of one kind or another. I said, yeah, that's right, I know. Parker, you can't save everyone. That's right, I know, that's right. Sometimes people have to save themselves. I nodded. I realize that. I just feel like if she really believes she could do it, then she could, and she would, and it would happen. She's just not believing hard enough, Lonnie Kim said. Then why don't you go see her? I said, we both could. She said, no, I'm sure she would rather it was just you, but not until you're up to it. Yeah, and when will that be? Parker, just be kind to yourself. You're still so raw. In the meantime, do something else. Send her flowers. I said, I already sent her roses. She looked half surprised. You did? When? I said, not me, actually. Blackwell did. But she thought they were from me. And they didn't work. She said, what do you mean they didn't work? I said, they didn't cure her. You expected them to cure her? Yes, sure. Why not? Lonnie Kim was at a loss. She said, then I have no idea what would do it. What sort of things does she like? I said, I don't know. Professor Hopkins tells me she's put together a scrapbook of all the news clippings that have come out since I landed in the hospital. On the cover of it, she pasted the snapshot that was taken of the two of us in front of the New York Public Library, and she said, why did you stop? In the background, the voices in the room were suddenly counting down in unison as the final seconds of the old year ticked away. Lonnie had to repeat her question by shouting, Parker, why did you stop? Suddenly, noisemakers were going off. People were standing up shouting, Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Then all commenced singing Auld Lang Syne. But I wasn't hearing any of it. Lonnie tried shouting her question a third time. Parker, why did you stop? Parker! I still wasn't registering. I was too distracted by the light bulb that had just gone off over my head.